Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Go in peace, my daughter. And remember that in the world of ordinary mortals, you are a wonder woman.
Hi. This is Linda Day George, and you're listening to TV Confidential.
Roberts, with a reminder that Allison Arngrim will join us at the top of the hour. We'll be able to stay tuned for that. In the meantime, Greg Airbar is with us via Zoom as we continue our look at the complete series Blu-ray release of the new original Wonder Woman starring Linda Carter and Lyle Wagner, which is now available on Blu-ray through the Warner Brothers archive. Before we went to break, we were talking about some of the differences between the Linda Carter Wonder Woman as it aired on ABC and the changes in format that were made when the series switched networks to CBS in 1977.
The nice thing, I would imagine, for Linda Carter and for her image then also was that she did get to wear nice contemporary clothes. Yeah. I remember one particular moment where I think saw a sleeping gas entered the room and she fell down, but we got a real good shot of her fashionable shoes.
That's right. You know?
So I thought, want to see those great shoes.
Yeah.
Those are nice. Available now at
yes.
JCPenney. I don't know. But she did get to look today, and that only cemented Linda Carter more. But it didn't really matter after a while whether you're even watching Wonder Woman so much, is that it was on, Linda Carter was Wonder Woman, and there was this entity, there was this presence of, she was Wonder Woman, and you knew who she was, and she was just a thing. And so she was making albums. I have her Epic album, and she has a very nice voice. And she also did a couple of CBS specials,
yeah.
which was part of the deal. And she was a very good, she was quite an affable and capable variety show performer. I remember at the beginning she came out in her costume, and then she changed. And she ended each show with what I would assume she wanted to be her theme, which was the old song, Always.
Yeah.
And so she did sort of transcend it. The show, CBS, I guess, felt like they wanted to, they did exactly what they did with Lost in Space. They wanted it to be more kid-friendly, and so they added more kid stories, skateboarding, kid who can predict the future, things like that. There was one with Shields and Yarnell where Lorraine Yarnell was this embittered scientist who's gone mad, and I think Shields played her ex-boyfriend, and she could command the ants to do her bidding. And I think her name was Formicida or something.
Yeah.
I forget. I got, but some of the episodes got just uber silly.
Yeah.
But, you know, you still watch because you just did. It was kind of a shame. They're fun to watch anyway, because there's no question. This is late 70s television at its most 70-ish. And the last episode is actually not the last episode. They're in broadcast order. Last episode is the one with Bob Segrin, who was going to be in the next season if it had another season, because Lyle Wagner was eventually sort of phased out.
Yeah.
And he was going to be her partner, but he was this guy who, for some reason, was indestructible. And they had already added this, like, computer with the funny voice and the robots. You know, it had gotten very, very Filmation Sid Marty Krofft.
Yeah.
And now they were going to have this indestructible man and an indestructible chimp. And so it was time, I think.
Yeah.
You know, so there, you know, you can't, it's not even worth saying is the original as good. There isn't any as good. It's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Fact of the matter is, Wonder Woman was brought into the consciousness more by the show, because it was a very famous comic book. Everybody knew who Wonder Woman was. She was on Super Friends, and actually her first appearance wasn't even on Super Friends. It was, and Diana Prince. It was on the Brady Kids mm-hmm. cartoon. But still, this series had a major impact and had a lasting. It was syndicated. I remember it was on every day. They ran these, and it's funny how there doesn't seem to be as many of them when you see them all together. It seems like they just went, the first season went on longer, but they were specials. They weren't really a series. The first 13 shows were like TV movies. So it's a lot of fun. If you have high def, you can dial up the high def and make it look like videotape if you want to make it look super cheesy, which is kind of fun. You know, you can see John Saxon sweating. Or you can just make it look like a movie and make it look like the original show, because the definition is tremendous on this. They lovingly restored this. It's going to run and run and run. It's 70s, but it's also kind of, it's not really dated.
Wonder Woman, the complete series, available in high definition Blu-ray from the Warner Brothers archive.
Oh, there's another one with Roy Rogers. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah. She introduces the kid-friendly, family-friendly Wonder Woman costume, which she doesn't wear the star-spangled leotard with the satin tights. She wears a red shirt, and she wears white riding pants, and it's sort of like, I guess it's the closest thing to a bottle show that the original 13 did. Bottle show meaning an episode that more or less takes place entirely on one set, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's very unusual. I guess it's, you'd know this better than me. Is it kind of like a remake sort of the Cowboys?
Kind of.
It's about all these young people on a ranch that have been taken from all these different foster homes, and Roy Rogers is raising them, these young boys. And Wonder Woman is never, Diana's not really in it. It's always Wonder Woman. So on the one hand, she can't really be wearing the costume around all these young boys the whole time.
Yeah, also, it's the very wholesome Wonder Woman costume.
Plus, I think Roy Rogers also may, depending on who you believe, Roy Rogers insisted that it's like, you know, this isn't really appropriate to be wearing this all the time. So she kind of looks like a soccer mom of the 70s.
Yes, it is.
You know, but she's telling them about how to live right, how to eat well, how to get plenty of exercise.
Yeah.
I mean, it is the most wholesome show of the series. But it was a family hour. That was the other thing. It was a family hour show.
It is 8 o'clock on Saturday nights on ABC for the most part.
And it was supposed to, when it came to TV violence, you will note, and this is again something you'll know well.
Yeah.
You had to stylize violence on TV way back to the 60s because of the complaints about violence. When you saw a fight on a show, especially an early show, if it looked extremely contrived, it wasn't because they didn't know how to do it. It was because they had to do it that way to keep it from looking too violent and hurtful. In the case of a show like Wonder Woman, they had to do the Saturday morning rule.
Yeah.
On the Popeye, on Hanna-Barbera's Popeye show, the rule was Popeye could never hit Bluto, but he could cause an object to fall on another object that could cause to hurt Bluto. So you'll see Wonder Woman like pushing a desk at somebody.
Yeah.
Or, you know, making something fall, or a chest of drawers or something.
Although the one exception to that is the 75 pilot featuring Stella Stevens. There's the great, I won't call it a cat fight, but it's the climactic scene in some circles, including mine, is the showdown between Wonder Woman and Stella Stevens' character, who turns out to be a Nazi operative.
Yes.
And there is a good old-fashioned fight between the two of them, and Wonder Woman actually throws a couple of punches. And
they must have had to get permission for
yeah.
that. And maybe because it was another woman, there must have been a lot of discussion, because that's the sort of thing that the network sends notes on. But Stella, it's interesting that Stella Stevens and Red Buttons together again
yes.
from Poseidon Adventure.
Very, very quickly, I do have a favorite episode of the CBS Wonder Woman, the contemporary ones, the ones that took place in the 70s. And that's the one with Martin Mull. And he played the closest thing to a Batman type of villain.
The Pied Piper.
And it was a nice showcase for Martin Mull, because it reminded everyone that he was a good singer. You know, he was mostly known for his comedy songs, but he could carry a tune. He was a great entertainer back in the day.
Yeah, and there's also a musical episode where Linda Carter poses as a musical recording artist
yeah.
so that she could showcase her singing. And then there for pure 70s fun, there's a Wolfman Jack episode that's all disco.
I will look for those. Well, I don't have a Blu-ray, but when I get a Blu-ray, I will look for those episodes when I revisit Wonder Woman, the complete series, available on Blu-ray through our friend at the Warner Archive.
And there's a couple of commentaries by Linda Carter herself and a couple of the documentaries, so it's a nice little package. Lots of fun for those rainy days.
Or for those who are still looking for ways to find new things to watch or rediscover during this time of sheltering in place.
We need heroes, you know? We need our heroes.
We certainly do. You're my hero, Greg.
Oh, you too, Ed.
You can read Greg Airbar's animation spin column twice a month at cartoonresearch.com. We'll take a quick time out, then Allison Arngrim will join us. We come back for hour number two of TV Confidential. Stay with us. Be part of our conversation. If you like what you hear, have thoughts on this week's program, or have an idea for a future edition of TV Confidential, we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at talk@tvconfidential.net, talk@tvconfidential.net. You can also message us at facebook.com/TV Confidential, x.com/TV Confidential, or @TV Confidential on Instagram. And if you're listening to us on the TV Confidential podcast, please be sure to hit the subscribe button.
This portion of TV Confidential is brought to us by our friends at Front Porch Realty, the community of realtors in the Northern Bay area of California that is committed to finding the solution that is best for their clients. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell or lease your property in Northern California, call Karen Strain at 415-886-7411 or visit frontporchrealtygroup.com for more information on how they can help you.